times I get teased by various individuals because of my memory. And I noted this past week that Johns Hopkins University had done a study on things most often forgotten. I was not at all surprised. I could relate to these things. First on the list, 83% was names. I can look a person right in the face and I can know that I know them, but I can't think of their name. But then there's always the where is something. I always talk about Vicki and I living in the hereafter. We always wonder what we're here after. We can't ever find anything. Then telephone numbers, 57%. Words, 53%. What was said, 49%. Faces, 42%. And this is, you'll love this one. Whether you've just done something. That's getting serious when you can't remember what you just done. But it's been said that the proper memory for a politician is one that knows what to remember and what to forget. And we could say in a way that that's true about Christians as well. There are things as Christians that we need to forget and things that we need to remember. Amongst the remembering things, we need to remember God and His works. You know, you wonder, how forgetful can people be? An example, I was reading about a guy that was stopping for gas in Montgomery, Alabama. He drove for more than 5 hours, and he noticed that something, or rather someone, was missing. He'd forgotten his wife. He stopped at the next town and asked the police to get in touch with his wife. Sam then called his wife to tell her he was on his way back, and he admitted with great embarrassment that he just hadn't noticed her absence. How could Sam forget about his wife for so long, you know? I mean, anyway. But, you know, we're not that much different in our relationship with God, really. We, far too many of us, forget about the one who created us and the one who redeems us. We can actually forget God. Think, you know, when you're under pressure and circumstances of life are piling up on you, you don't have time to think about God or religious matters or anything like that. Or maybe you just get in the middle of your daily routine and God just isn't on your mind. We sometimes, I'm afraid, forget we are God's children, and we fail to realize that we can recall the various promises that He has made to us. We don't remember, though, sometimes how awesome His power is and how wondrous His love is for man. And as a result, when we face temptations and we try to overcome them, we try to overcome those things by our own power. Well, I can do this. I'm strong. But we find out we aren't so strong. And we forget about where power really lies. We get into some pretty sticky problems because of this. But, you know, God knew that this would be a problem. And that's why the Bible is full of reminders. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find here that Deuteronomy contains more reminders not to forget than any other book in the Bible. Moses constantly warned the Jews not to forget God, not to forget His work that He had done on their behalf. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, look at verse 9 with me for an example. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. Only take heed to yourselves and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And then teach them to your children and grandchildren, not just for your own sake, but for your children's sake and your grandchildren's sake. Look at Deuteronomy 4 and verse 23 now. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of your Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden. How often did Israel forget? They forgot God. And what'd they do? They worshipped a stone. They worshipped something, an idol made out of precious stone, precious metals. They worshipped idols that were made out of a tree. That's an interesting story. They cut the tree up, build a fire, and cook with one part of it, and then the other, they worship it. That's pretty interesting. But they forgot God. They forgot God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, so it shall be when the Lord God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers and to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards, olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Whenever you get into the promised land, all these wonderful blessings that God, don't forget God. He's the one that gave it all to you. Don't forget God. They had to be reminded. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, and look at verse 11, first of all. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Move on down to verse 14. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Notice that reminder in verse 8:19 of chapter 8. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, you shall surely perish. God warned through the prophet Jeremiah that Israel had indeed forgotten their God. In Jeremiah 2 and verse 32, the prophet says, can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Can you imagine a bride forgetting her gown on the day of her wedding? Now, that's how much God should be first place in our minds. Yet, what happened? The Jews have forgot God innumerable days. Innumerable days. Again, in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 21, a voice was heard on the desolate heights, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way. They have forgotten their God. They perverted their actions and forgot God. Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 25. This is your lot, the portion of your measures from me, says the Lord. Because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. What did they do? They forgot God. They trusted in something that was false. Solomon warned us to remember God. We had Edward just read it for us a moment ago in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. It's important not to forget God. We can see the results of forgetting God One of them is, we cannot survive without God. When you think about it now, you can't survive without God. Look at Job chapter 8 with me, if you will, please. Beginning at verse 11. Can the papyrus grow up without marsh? Can the reeds flourish without water? While it is yet green and not cut down, it withers before any other plant. So are the paths of all who forget God, and the hope of the hypocrite shall perish, whose confidence shall be cut off, and whose trust is a spider's web. He leans on his house, but it does not stand. He holds it fast, but it does not endure. Forgetting God is the road to eternal torment. That's what we read in Psalm 9 and verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Now, we may forget God, but God will not forget us. Isaiah 49, verse 14 through 16 says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget. God will not forget you. See, I have inscribed on you the palm and the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Indeed, a mother may turn her back on a nursing child, but God does not forget his people. His people may forget him, but he won't forget them. Some days we are intensely absorbed in the details of our work, and we have to do this in order to perform our task the way that we are expected to. Sometimes hours can slip by without even a momentary thought of God. But we can take comfort in knowing that God is never too busy to think about us. A fellow by the name of Jacob Astley, he was a royalist commander, said his first experiences of war were at the age of 18 when he joined the Islands Voyage Expedition, get this, 1597. I think that's a little before any of you. A little bit, yeah. It is me. But his characteristic battle prayer at the Battle of Edge Hill has become famous. And listen to what it is. If I forget thee, do not forget me. That's what he prayed. Now, this is not an excuse for indifference towards God, but it is a comfort in knowing that we lie down at night and rest our weary bodies. Our souls can rest in assurance that God does not forget us. God does not forget us. At the same time, we need to, there we are, consciously include God in all that we say and all that we do. Seeking God's wisdom, relying on his strength, and praising his goodness. In Hebrews chapter 13, look at me if you will, verses 15 and 16. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. When we face difficulties, we sometimes forget God's past faithfulness to us. We only see the detours in the road, the difficult pathways that lie ahead. But we look back and you'll notice, if you stop to think about it, the joys that God has given to us as we have traveled life's pathway. In Hebrews chapter 13, and now back at verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Did you hear that? He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Knowledge of God's help will give us confidence to face present day trouble. Look at the example of God delivering his people in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. What had God done for Israel? He had delivered them by a mighty arm. And look at the way God carried his people through trials. In Deuteronomy 8 and 2, you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And the victories that God had given in Deuteronomy 11, 2 through 7. Know today that I do not speak with you, with your children who have not known and who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, his greatness and his mighty hand and his outstretched arm, his signs and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to all his land. What he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea overflow them as they pursued you, and how the Lord has destroyed them to this day. What he did for you in the wilderness until you came to this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, their households, their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen every great act which the Lord of the Lord which he did. They needed to stop and think about all of the wonderful victories God had led them through, and the blessings indeed which God has bestowed. In Deuteronomy 32, beginning with verse 7. Remember the days of old and consider the years of many generations. Ask your fathers. He will show you, your elders, they will tell you, when the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion to his people, Jacob, is the place of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him, he instructed him, he kept him as the people of his eye, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreads out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on his wings. What a beautiful picture of God's care for his people. Everything that God promised came to pass. Now, this is important to us, because there are promises that we are expecting to be fulfilled. But how do we know they're going to be fulfilled? God made every one of his promises come to pass. Joshua 23:14, behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. Now this is Joshua speaking. And you know in all your hearts and in your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word has failed. You know, that is a comforting fact. God made all of the promises good for them. Not a one failed. Not one. Not a one. Now, some people, though, try to rely on their own resources. But we rely on God. So look at Psalm 20 and verse 7. David expresses it this way. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Not chariots, not horses, but God. Daily blessings are a reminder of us of God every day of our lives. Now, think about this for a moment. Have you been taking God's goodness for granted? How many of His blessings can you list right now? And after you list them, why not thank Him for those specific blessings? I don't know if you've ever tried this or not, but I have. And I pretty much run out of time. If I ever try it whenever I go to sleep, I generally fall asleep. I think there's a song about fall asleep counting your blessings, something like that. But it's real. It's true. God blesses us in so many wonderful ways every day of our lives. And we need to be thankful for it. Remembering also needs to be done when it comes to God's Word. Do not forget to remember God's Word. How's that sound? Do not forget to remember. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, He also taught me and said to me, "Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth." God's word should be important to us. In Proverbs 3 and verse 1, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands." You know, Paul in the New Testament, in in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, said, "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Paul put a lot of stress on words that came from Jesus. But more than that, in Jude verse 17, we're also told to remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. That would be the words of Paul and Peter and John, James. Those words are important too. Why? Because Christ left them the Holy Spirit so they would be inspired to speak the words that He wanted them to speak. Jesus Himself did not say everything that needed to be said before He left this earth. Instead, He left His apostles and prophets to do that for us. But why is it important? Question. Why is it important to remember God's Word? Well, I think that it's important because our destiny before God depends on it. Now, I say that because I note that Israel was destroyed for lack of knowledge. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priests for me. And because you've forgotten the law of your God, I'll also reject your children. But more than that, God's word brings the hearer blessings. In James chapter 1, verse 23 through 25, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his face in a natural mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Where are the blessings? In being a doer of the word. What word? The words that come from the mouth of God. But we take a look over in the Psalms again to what David has to say, that he will not forget God's laws. In Psalm 119, look at it. And by the way, it occurs many times in Psalm 119. I'm not going to pretend to try to hit them all. But just look at verse 16. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Psalm 119 and 93, I will never forget your precepts. Why? For by them you have given me life. Those are key points that show how important God's word should be to us. But if we're going to remember God's word, we ought to remember it often. In Psalm 119, again, now down at verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. What did he do with the word of God? He hid it in his heart. Why? That he might not sin against God. God's word served as a watch over his heart. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, Peter says, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Notice, Peter wrote these things so we would have a reminder of what he said after he was gone. After he was gone. Now, what's the best way for us to remember something? Well, when I work as an engineering technician, I had to work with formulas and things every day. There were certain manuals I had to be familiar with. I had to know where to go to find various information. And I had to do it every day of my life. But don't ask me to figure up anything for you now. Why? I forgot it. Why? Disuse. See? Now, I could sit down and do a little ciphering here and there, and I might come up with some formulas for you. But I'm not near as sharp as I used to be. It ain't just because I'm old either. That might have something to do with it. But not just because I'm old. But if you don't use it, you'll lose it. You'll lose it. Now, so also it is with God's word. We need to put it into daily use. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11, Deuteronomy 8 and 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you this day. If we don't keep God's commandments on a daily basis, we'll forget them. We'll just forget them. In James chapter 1 and verse 25, James says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Now, I want to emphasize that. Continues in it. Daily continuing in it. and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, how do we do it? By obeying him. By obeying him. But we also need to remember other people's kindness. Now, it's a fact that not every deed that is done will be remembered. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 14, it starts off there. There was a little city with a few men in it, and a great king came up against it and besieged it and built great snares around it. And there was found in it a poor wise man, and by his wisdom he delivered the city. Yet no one remembered the poor man. How often do we see this happen around us in society today? Some insignificant person does something that seems very small, but they manage to be the hero. But who remembers them? Who remembers them? Those inclined to wickedness tend to forget past kindnesses. In 2 Chronicles 24 and verse 17, now that after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Therefore, they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wooden images and idols. And what? Wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespasses. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, who stood above the people and said to them, "Thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you." So they conspired against him, at the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but killed his son. And as he died, he said, "The Lord look on it and repay." Too often people that are driven by wickedness don't ever remember past kindnesses. They don't remember it. Joseph was a victim of that. You remember Joseph got tossed into prison on a bum rap. His master's wife had falsely accused him of trying to attack her. He got tossed into prison. He was a good man in the prison, and people respected him. And so he was inquired of about a couple of dreams that two people had. And one thing that he asked of them was, "Whenever you are restored to your position in the king's house, remember me. Remember me." And how long was it? Time went by. You're restored. How come you aren't doing anything about it? Well, finally, he was remembered to the Pharaoh about it. And indeed, he was given a position of where he could restore, get himself back in the favor of Pharaoh once again. But unfortunately, 2 years went by before the butler spoke to Pharaoh and said, "I remember my faults this day." What's the problem with people? But instead of forgetting, we need to remember the kindness of others. Give honor where honor is due. Like the man that was cleansed in Luke 17 in verses 15 through 19. Notice that one of them, when he saw that he was healed, That was a leper who was healed, returned with a loud voice glorifying God, and fell down at his feet and said, and gave him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Started off with 10 lepers. Jesus sent them all on their way, but only one came back. Where are the 9? Where are the 9, Jesus said. This man remembered to be thankful for the kindness that the Lord had given him. Remembering others' misfortune, however, is something that we don't like to think about. Christians are commanded to be mindful of those who are less fortunate than they are. For instance, how about the poor? Galatians 2 and 10, they desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I was also eager to do. And what about the stranger? In Hebrews 13, 2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Job had lost so much, and his family had and friends had all turned their backs on him. But Job said in Job 19, 13 and 14, God has removed my brothers far from me, and my acquaintances are completely estranged from me, and my relatives have failed, and my close friends have forgotten me. As Christians, our primary obligation is to lead others to Christ. Understandable. But our duties do not end there. In Hebrews 13 and 16, Paul wrote that do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. What did he say? We need to do good. Now notice in Galatians 6 and 10, he says about that, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. We have a special obligation to our brothers and sisters in Christ, but that's not all we are obligated to. We have an obligation to our fellow man as well, and we must indeed fulfill it. As Christ's love for us grows within, that love should spread to those without. God remembers our deeds. Look at Hebrews 6 and verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. We can always count on that. But something else, and a little bit crossover with our lesson this morning, I realized when I was preparing this, it was going to kind of cross it a little bit, but let's talk about remembering God's forgiveness. Won't hurt us to visit that again. We got enough time, and I'm going to hit it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These are virtues that we need to possess. But what happens if we do not grow? Well, we look at 2 Peter again, chapter 1, verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and what? And has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. What did he forget? He forgot God's forgiveness. We talked this morning about how much God has forgiven with regard to us. We don't want to forget that. We don't want to forget it. We need to continually remind ourselves that to live the life of a Christian is to live a life of thankfulness. This life was something that we chose as a Christian. We weren't forced to become a Christian. We weren't coerced into becoming a Christian. We chose it. And because of that, we took upon ourselves the obligation to live like a Christian. In 2 Peter chapter 1, begin verse 10 through verse 11. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know, speaking of the kingdom and the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave us a memorial that we might remember the sacrifice that He gave for us. That sacrifice is the Lord's Supper, which we observed this morning. Do this in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians 11:24-25. Jesus wants us to remember His death on the cross. He wants us to remember the price that He paid for our sins. And He wants us to anticipate His ultimate return. May we all have the strength and courage to forget and remember appropriately. Forgetting and remembering appropriately.